County fairs are common events around the region, featuring the usual county fair attractions like livestock and carnival rides and all kinds of fried foods, all kinds of fried foods. But there's only one country fair, the Oregon Country Fair. It returns to the Lane County countryside in 3 weeks. It's been a popular place over the years, which probably explains why it's still going after 46 years. Charlie Ruff is the general manager at the Oregon Country Fair, and this is one of our favorite interviews each year. Charlie, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, good morning, Jeffrey, and I couldn't agree more. This is one of my favorite interviews. It's always fun talking with you.
Glad to have you again. So describe the country fair then, Charlie, to somebody who's never been there before, never heard about it, never knew a thing about it.
Well, I guess the first place to start is with the setting. We own a 446-acre parcel outside Eugene in Veneta that covers the sort of 2.5-mile stretch of the Long Tom River. And it's a magical place, a woodland setting, and I've never been to a festival any place else that had the kind of just the physical kind of geographical context that the fair has. You throw on top of that the fact that there are vibrations from 10,000 years of gathering there from the tribes that have been here for a long time. We've documented that through our archaeology. And, there's just a presence in the place. And then you bring together this intentional community that's built on openness, tolerance, acceptance, and a very loving environment. And every year, just this magical flower blossoms in July in that place. It's pretty incredible thing.
Is it a walk around and look at things kind of fair? Is it a participatory kind of thing? I mean, what for somebody who'd be going there for the first time, what would be a good itinerary for the day?
Well, I would say the answer to your question is yes. It's all of those things. When I first started doing fair, I tried to have an evolved itinerary. I would sit down with the Peach Pit, which is our fair publication that has the stage schedules and all that kind of thing. And I had this ambitious list of things to do. And I found over the years that typically if you just come with a very open heart and open mind and let the river of the path take you where it will, you will have the most magical, caressing experience. I struggled for a long time to try to be there for this and that. I think it's really just be present, and you will have wonderful experiences. It is completely participatory. I think more than almost any other festival, that when you're part of our event, you are part of our event. It's not an us and them. Everyone is what makes the Oregon Country Fair what it is, whether you're just there for a few hours or you're there for three days. And it's another cool aspect of the fair.
And it is the 3 days this year, July 10, 11, 12. Do a lot of people come for all 3 days? People who are not, holding booths and things like that?
We started a program about 7-8 years ago where we created a 3-day ticket, which actually you got a slight discount if you bought a ticket that covered all 3 days. And last year we sold out of them. This year we're going to release more of them. We have about 5,000 folks that commit to coming for all 3 days, which is just incredible. And it's grown over the years.
How much does a 3-day ticket cost, and how much do single day tickets cost?
Well, the 3-day ticket is $59 this year, and depending on whether you buy single day tickets in advance or day of, the price varies. But if you buy in advance, Friday and Sunday tickets will cost you $23. If you buy day of, those will cost you, I'll have to look at that, but I'll give you this Saturday advance price is $25, and then they go up about $5 a piece day of sale.
All right, so a little more expensive if you buy it day of.
Yeah.
Got it.
And another thing to remember is that you can't buy tickets on site. You can buy tickets through our webpage at OregonCountryFair.org, through the Tickets West outlets, but you cannot get a ticket when you come to the site. So you need to have your ticket when you get there.
Really? So if you just show up and say, hey, I'm ready, and there's no booth there, nobody will sell you a ticket?
Yep. We've moved ticket sales off-site years and years ago for a variety of reasons.
Can you do e-tickets? I mean, could you buy a ticket on your smartphone and then flash it to somebody at the gate?
You absolutely can. You can't buy 3-day tickets right, during the event. We stop selling 3-day tickets electronically, but you can buy day-of tickets electronically right up through the end of the event.
So you mentioned 5,000 people buying the 3-day tickets recently. What is attendance like day by day at the fair? Obviously, you're trying to keep people away from Saturday with your pricing.
Well, Saturday sells out every year, and Saturday is the most popular day. We really have encouraged folks to experience more on Friday and Sunday. The path is a little less congested. There's a lot more space to stretch out. Friday we average about 15,000 people in attendance. Saturday between 18 and 19,000, and then Sundays are usually around 13 or 14,000. I tend to think of it, it breaks out really consistently that Friday we get a lot of the folks that come particularly for the crafts. They want to get the first pick of all the craft booths. And so there's a lot of shoppers on Friday. And then Saturday is just, you know, everybody is there for the party. And then Sunday tends to really have a family feel. We get a lot more families, a lot more kids with strollers. It's less crowded. It's a slightly slower paced day, it feels like, in some ways. And it's really sweet pace. And so that tends to be how it, you know, feels to me anyway.
Charlie Ruff is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the general manager of the Oregon Country Fair, coming back to Veneta July 10, 11, 12. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions, comments, experiences from past Oregon Country Fairs, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. So, for example, what are the kinds of things that you can find at the Oregon Country Fair that you probably don't find at any other sort of gathering off in the woods?
Well, you know, I think one thing that we do really well is we have just a whole crew of entertainment that's called Ambiance Entertainment. And so these are different path-roving types of entertainers or groups of entertainers, and it really covers the spectrum. It's not just someone busking with a guitar or a banjo, but you have troops of stilt walkers or themed troops of different performance artists and those kind of things. So every kind of bend in the path that you turn around, you find some sort of new magical thing to sit and watch and experience and sometimes jump in and get involved in. I think one of the other things that's really cool is we have 18 stages of entertainment, so there's this full spectrum. I mean, the fair was kind of ground zero in the Northwest vaudeville revival that happened starting about 30 years ago, and so we have four different stages where we do different vaudeville-type performances, acrobatics. We have girls' circus. The entertainment spectrum is just as complete as any festival, more so than any festival I can think of. All the crafts are unique and handmade. You know, they're made by the artist. The artist has to be there in the booth to sell them to you. So there's a very one-to-one experience with the heart and the hand and the maker of that thing that you cherish. The fair has become so much more family-friendly in the last 20 years. We do so much programming and so much of what we do in terms of our art and play spaces for kids these past few years. This year, I think the biggest story that we have to tell is we're opening a 6-acre expansion to our public path. And this is just going to be a huge new thing for us. It's a singular space like no other, I think, on our 446 acres. It has big open spaces, very nice lines of sight. It allows us to dream big and think big. It can hold an awful lot of folks, or it can really have this open feel. But when you're there, it actually still feels like you're in the eight of the fair. You have this really caressing, kind of embracing tree line. It's a magical space. And this year, as we open it, we're going to have some new programs there. We're going to have a movement arts program. We're going to have a place called the Flow Zone where you can learn to do movement arts and participate in that. We're introducing a whole new dance program in a dance pavilion. And so we're going to have participatory dance as well as performance dance, just going round the clock out there, basically. And we also have a new art installation program. So we've started doing a process where we take applications to do big-scale art installations and work with the artists. And this is our space for it. So we're going to have about 7 or 8 large-scale art installations out in this new area, some of which are interactive, some of them are just more display. And it should be really cool.
Is it even possible, Charlie, if you're walking fast, to see all of the things there are to see at the Oregon Country Fair if you're there on a single-day ticket?
Well, I don't think it's possible to see all the things. I don't think you'd see all the things there in 3 days in a given year just because it is so dynamic and it changes. Once again, with the path shifts, with the ambiance, half of what people say they come to the fair for is to people watch and see other people because, you know, the participants are such a part of the show. I don't think it's possible to see everything. I think you see, what you're destined to see, and that's part of the magic, in my opinion. You don't see it all, but what catches you is for you, and you're supposed to see.
Charlie Ruff, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, general manager at the Oregon Country Fair. You're welcome to visit with him at 800-838-3760 by phone anywhere in the region, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. There are a lot of stories for any fair that's been around for 46 years that is as unique as the Oregon Country Fair. What would you say are some of the popular misconceptions of the Oregon Country Fair?
Oh, well, you know, I think some of those popular misconceptions years ago probably were based in some sort of reality. You know, I think at this point, you know, one thing that I think is a popular misconception is that the fair is not really family friendly or kid friendly. That has changed dramatically. When we became a drug and alcohol free event, low so many years ago, and we pushed ticket sales off site, the whole dynamic shifted into a mellower, more inclusive kind of feel. And I think that's a big misconception. I think there's a misconception that there's kind of the, you know, just rampant drug use and nudity. That's not true. it's not like it was in the early days. In some ways, we've kept, the core values alive and carried those through and modernized those in our own way. But, it's a very different event than it was 35 or 40 years ago. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, I think it's great to watch an organization or an event grow and mature with age. And I'd say we're ripening very nicely.
You mentioned drug and alcohol free. The segment right behind yours is about the new rules for marijuana use in Oregon, effective July 1st. You're obviously starting this up on July 10th. How vigilant will the Oregon Country Fair people be to make sure that people are not smoking marijuana there?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, and I heard that segment was coming, so I was thinking we might talk about this. At this point, the fair is still a drug and alcohol-free event, and that's not changing. Of course, we're respectful and appreciative of the changes that are happening in the legal landscape around marijuana. But the reality is that in public places, you can't be, using or transferring or selling or buying marijuana. And during the event, our fair is a public place, and so our rules there haven't changed. So fundamentally, we don't see a sea shift happening for us at all. We are hoping people will be respectful that those are the rules that we have to play by, and continue to follow that agreement that we've had with them. And we'll do our best to be, in our own way, very kind if we have to deal with folks that can't quite get that right.
You mentioned pretty much in the same paragraph as drug use, the old stories about nudity as well. And I noticed there are some admonitions that at least under Oregon law, you have to keep your genitals covered. But it sounds like some people do let a few things hang out there.
Well, I would say toplessness is a thing that happens there for sure, and it's a great environment for people to express themselves in that way. There's not a ton of judgment. There's a freedom there, and I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily. Our own policies are very much in alignment with the Oregon state policies, and there is no genital nudity at the country fair, and folks that can't follow that rule will be very politely asked to move along.
You mentioned 18 stages of entertainment, and so how many different acts altogether do you have? And you must spend like an entire year from the end of last year's fair to booking this year's fair.
The easiest way to give you a sense of scope on that question is to say that, we don't have one set of folks that books our performers. We have six different entertainment crews. Some of those crews will cover just one stage, like our main stage crew. And then we have others like vaudeville that covers four stages. We have our solar stages. That's three other stages. Then we have some acoustic stages. So then we have a spoken word program. Each one of those groups is responsible for booking the stages that they cover. And so it's an incredible matrix and patchwork of different elements to bring all these acts together. I think it's safe to say there are easily over 100 different performers that will be, and I mean different acts. Mm-hmm. If you throw in the amount of folks in some of the larger bands and stuff, we get into the hundreds of people that will be coming from around the country, around the world, to perform at the Country Fair.
Let's take a call. We have John and Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Charlie Ruff from the Oregon Country Fair. Hi, John.
Harkening back a moment ago to the talk about marijuana and the rules not changing, am I right in thinking that typical public events like a county fair doesn't allow cigarette smoking anymore? And why couldn't the country fair simplify the issues involved in any smoking by banning smoking? And just parenthetically, I'd rather smell marijuana smoke than somebody's cigarette.
All right. Thanks for that.
Well, as I understand it, I think there are a lot of outdoor events that still have smoking, and I think that's consistent with the law in Oregon. We have talked with our board of directors at some length over the last few years about potentially becoming a smoke-free event, and the choice has not been made to do that yet, and there are a variety of reasons for that. We still have a lot of patrons that smoke. We have several, multiple designated smoking areas, and we really work hard to keep people only using tobacco in those areas. But at this point, it's a big place with a lot of different folks, and our experience is that if we don't facilitate smoking areas for folks, that then they try to find different places to light up, so they can, get that thing that they need. And that's much more difficult to enforce and to work with. And so at this point, we still have smoking areas. And I understand and appreciate what you're saying. And I would think that that would be true, even if the law changed again around marijuana. If we became smoke-free, that would be smoke-free for all substances.
Charlie, I don't want to break tradition here, so I have to ask, with the vaudeville performers, will the Clown Snot Bomb Circus be back this year?
I'm so glad you asked that, but no, they will not be here this year, and I'm sad to say that. That was a one-time thing. I have never seen the Clown Snot Bomb Circus again, but we were glad they were with us. We do have some interesting names in our vaudeville performers. We have the Rose City Acro Devils. I have not seen them before. The Flying Buttresses, which feature Reese Thomas and Charlie Brown, who are some of our longtime Fair Family favorite jugglers and action performers. There's going to be some great folks. The Wanderlust Circus is coming back with us again, and
all kinds of great stuff to see. I did check, by the way. Clown Snot Bomb Circus does still exist. They played Ashland and Arcata just last year.
You got to be kidding me. Well, that's wonderful. Good for them. I mean, with a name like that, they can keep going.
Exactly. Okay, the Country Fair, the Oregon Country Fair, 46th Annual in Vinita, July 10th, 11th, and 12th. You have to go online for tickets. Charlie Ruff is the general manager there. Charlie, thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Jeffrey, it's always a pleasure. You are just a gem of public radio in this region, and we love listening to you.